Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Charity Charge Show. Today, I'm honored to have with us Stephanie Gripney, who is the founder and executive director of Impact Finance Center. This has been an awesome string of guests. We recently had on folks from TechSoup, and then following that, the Giving Back Fund. So we just continue to have incredible guests that give us their time. So thank you so much for being with us today, Stephanie.
Absolutely. Great to be with you.
I know that we, you know, were originally just, I believe I reached out to you and, you know, as we chatted prior to this interview, we share a lot of just commonalities, I think just in general of our interest and passion for the nonprofit sector. Could you just share with us in general? I have your bio in front of us, which I will actually give you the honor of or the benefit, I'll read briefly, but then I'd like you to just talk a little bit about, you know, yourself and just your just general interest in this industry. And then we'll move on and share with the audience about Impact Finance Center as a whole. So I should do a proper introduction. And what I should have said is Dr. Stephanie Gripney is an academic entrepreneur, impact investor, researcher, educator, and the creative force behind Impact Finance Center, Impact Investing Institute, Investor Clubs, Impact Investing Giving Circle, and Who's Who in Impact Investing and the vision to catalyze the national impact investing marketplace to catalyze $1 trillion of investment. Stephanie, of course, is the founder of Impact Finance Center, which was founded in 2012. What does that all mean? And why are you passionate about all of this? Where did it start?
Sure. If I really think about it, I grew up in a small town in Idaho, a ski resort, Haley, Idaho, outside of Sun Valley. And anyone who lives in Idaho is very much connected to the outdoors. And so we had endangered salmon, spring summer Chinook salmon. We had endangered wolves that were being reintroduced in high school. And it was always a fight between the animals and the humans. Do you get jobs? Do the rivers get shut down in order to save the fish? Or do we keep the rivers going in order to save jobs for the river guides? And I always had in my heart, or I knew there was enough resources for the fish and the jobs. I just felt like it was an issue of resource allocation. You know, how do we distribute those resources? And so that has kind of been the driving force for me. I have a big heart and I care about my community and I care about my environment. And I've been on a quest to figure out, you know, what needs to be done and what's the highest and best use of me and now my incredible team in that quest to allocate resources so there's enough for everyone.
Can you share with us, you know, obviously you all are doing a lot of different initiatives, certainly national and perhaps global in scope. I love that initial example of what instilled this passion and interest as a young child. What are the types of problems that you are solving and that you believe should be solved more holistically?
That's a great question. At the end of the day, I believe that I have a new initiative called Main Street 2.0, where the best of Wall Street comes back to Main Street. And I believe that we have all the tools in the toolbox right now to basically invest in our community, our environment in a profound way. And what's super wild is my PhD is actually in forestry and my master's degree is actually in wildlife. And I've lost count to probably have been a part of 400 to 500 transactions in my career, whether it was direct investing, my own or others, or working for a foundation or working for a private equity fund. And I just kept thinking it shouldn't be this hard. It shouldn't be this hard for amazing projects or nonprofits or small businesses or startups or funds to raise capital. And that kind of led me to the place I am today, which is doing investor education. And I ended up being a professor and working for the University of Colorado Real Estate Foundation. And the fun fact is I was a finance professor and I'd never actually taken a business class. And I ran the Sustainable Real Estate Initiative. And if you Google me on Forbes, they got my PhD wrong, but Devin Thorpe said, you know, is this wildlife conservation PhD the next Steve Jobs of impact investing? And what's super interesting now is now I realize I'm just a restoration ecologist in the financial markets. And so I see where flow wants to go. People who care about nonprofits, or people who care about people of color, or people who care about Colorado or Texas, and they have resources. And that could be an individual, a foundation, a family office, or a company. And there's no really good place for them to go to learn how to invest in what we would call as that umbrella social ventures. And so one of my most favorite projects, just to bring it into reality, was the first 10 plus years of my career, I was off and on with the Forest Service. I was a wildland firefighter. I was an economist trainee. I was a natural resource specialist. And I loved working for the Forest Service in so many ways. I even studied my PhD with Dr. Jack Ward Thomas, the chief of the Forest Service. And I'm a Boone and Crockett Club member. And
I don't know if I want to just interject. I don't know if I brought this up before, but when I was about to graduate college, I went to the Career Center, and they had me take the Myers-Briggs. And the number one job that I was given was a Park Service Ranger.
That's awesome.
And I always thought it was so cool, and I didn't go into it. And this interview is about you, but it's always stuck with me. And I thought, wow, that would be great. So now I sort of think that's what I'm going to do when I retire.
Well, I'll get to that in a sec. I'll finish this part of the story, and then we should go riff on that for a second, because it told me I shouldn't become a scientist after I'd gone to school for 12 years, that I should go into, my number one gifts are persuasion and music and service. And so I started writing songs and ballroom dancing in my 40s.
Wow.
So you don't have to wait till you retire, Stephen, to
do this.
So to bring the story back to home, the Forest Service calls me, and it'd been 15 years since I'd worked with them. And they said, "Steph, there's this little forest fire thing happening out west." And I'm like, "Oh, yes." And they said, "There's a new technology that can take that small little wood causing the fires, and you can glue it together in a wood beam that can replace steel and concrete. And you can actually create skyscrapers out of all wood now. And Microsoft and Google and Facebook are putting in multi-billion dollar orders for this mass timber, cross-laminated timber wood." The exciting part from the point of view of the Forest Service is there's never been enough money. Congress will give an unlimited check to fight the fires, but they don't give enough money to restore the forests in order to reduce that wood load that's causing the fires. And so they said, we need investment capital to grow the trees, to cut the trees, to retrain the workforce. We need investors for the biomass facilities, the mills, the production facilities for the mass timber, CLT, and to finance the buildings. And they said, "Do you have investors?" And I said, "I have bad news and good news. I have a couple of investors." That's the bad news. But the good news is they're like serotonous pine cone trees, ponderosa pine cone trees. You can actually grow investors just like you grow trees. And so over the last year and a half, we've been partnering with the federal government, the Forest Service, to identify, educate, and activate existing investors and new investors to invest across that whole supply chain. And it's caught on so well. The state of California, through our partners, RCAC, a community financial development institution, are also saying, "Let's do that same effort in California." So that's super fun when your old world and your new world kind of come together.
I love it. I appreciate you sharing that. When I look at the two sides of Impact Finance Center, to try to break that down a little bit more, as I look at it, you have the advisory services side and then the institute side. So can you share a little bit more about, what you're talking about there is more of the advisory services side, correct?
It's a great question. It's actually both. The step one of the secret sauce in the manual is you have to educate both sides of the marketplace. Nonprofits don't realize they have so many impact investments. We just created a new tool called a philanthropic opportunity scan. And if I sit down with a program officer and look at 100 grants that they gave out last year, you can literally restructure 50 to 75 of those grants to make the nonprofit better off and give them more resources. Sometimes even bring more resources back to the donor or the foundation.
What would be an example of that?
Or can you just
explain that a little bit more?
And keep going.
Part of what I was going to say is one of the things that really stuck out to me. So when I first learned about, you know, yourself and Impact Finance Center was on a webinar that you hosted on behalf or in conjunction with TechSoup about their direct public offering. And to give context to it, you were talking about this concept of, hey, if for anyone out there, if you are donating or have ever donated dollars to a nonprofit, it is a complete loss. I mean, just from a financial standpoint, I mean, you're just giving those dollars away. And I love how you put it there, because I think a lot of people haven't separated the two in terms of how they make investments on their, you know, for-profit portfolios or whatever consumables, you know, they're purchasing just as a consumer for themselves. And then people sort of bifurcate their philanthropic donations. And you were obviously talking about then how TechSoup is doing this direct public offering where they're offering a return actually on those philanthropic dollars. So you said it way better than I can, but talk about that. And then, you know, this whole thing, because it's a really fascinating way. And I think we're going to have a better world as people wrap their head around ways to think about philanthropy different than how it's traditionally been done.
Yeah. So that's I love this concept and the story and this idea. And so again, this is a tool we call the philanthropic opportunity scan, where it's looking at what you exist. Let me put it, take a step back. We say at Impact Finance Center, your philanthropy is an investment with a negative 100% loss, attempting positive impact, and all of your investments have impact, positive and negative. So we should be looking at every dollar across our portfolio. So Stephen, do you have a sibling? Do you have a brother or sister?
Do I have a brother?
So you actually have three buckets of money. I love how you said bifurcate, but really you trifurcate your money, right? Okay. So you have the money you would donate to a great organization like TechSoup. You have money you would lend your brother at maybe a 2% loan. And then you have your money in your IRA or your 401k that you're trying to get a 6-7% return on. And so we often just trifurcate that money in three different categories.
And my Coinbase account now.
Your Coinbase account. I'm excited to see what the return would be on that one. Yeah. And that's the point, is that we break up our money into buckets. And the opportunity here is for us to take a step back and holistically think about our money. Because if we want to just keep it simple, and you take $1 that you would give, $1 you would lend at 2%, $1 you would give at negative 100%, and $1 you would invest at 6%, guess what the blended rate of return is on those $3?
Zero?
Negative 31%.
Wow.
But that means you're still getting a market rate of 6 on that $1, a market rate of 2 on that $1,
right?
And you're donating and getting a negative 100% loss on that other dollar. So when you think about, do nonprofits need money? Well, the first step we do is, do you have existing or future debt? Do you have lines of credit, which, you know, that's what charity charges, trying to help solve that issue. Especially, we don't want nonprofits personally signing and securing their lines of credit. So I love that product you're offering. So are there existing lines of credit or future lines of credit, existing mortgages or future mortgages? Think about if we can refinance that from 8%, $1 million mortgage from 8% down to 0 or negative 5, if I'm talking about negative 31%, all of a sudden you can save that nonprofit tens of thousands, if not millions of dollars a year just by refinancing debt. Then the second piece of the equation that we look at is, do you have an inefficient asset? Well, what's an asset? A car, a house, a fleet of vehicles, technology, a building. And so if you could make them energy efficiency improvement on a building, we did one for downtown Denver. If you take money you would give away at negative 100% in a donor advised fund and do a 1% loan, the donor gets 101% return plus the tax deduction. And that 1% loan in this case saved that nonprofit $6 million over 10 years. That's as if you are giving like an unrestricted grant, plus you're recycling your philanthropy for another nonprofit.
So I just want to make sure I'm following you, and I really want the audience to be able to understand this. Let's roll back. The example you just gave there is it a perspective where there's a donor that's putting dollars into a foundation that is then granting those dollars out to specific nonprofits?
Yeah, and it can work if you individually do it. It can work if you do it through a donor advised fund at your local community foundation, or
And I think part of what you're talking about is, I mean, there's the example of TechSoup's doing this DPO where TechSoup themselves are a 501c3. You can invest dollars in their direct public offering. So in lieu of just writing a check to TechSoup and you get nothing back for yourself economically, but ideally they're using those dollars for great purposes to make the world a better place and do what they do, helping all the nonprofits. You could give dollars to TechSoup through this DPO. They're still going to get those dollars and they're going to be able to use them to make impact, but then you are going to get a return. And I think at that point, you can do whatever you want with the money as the donor, but you also could just reinvest it into other organizations. So what are you seeing the model that TechSoup's pursuing as the 501c3 doing it themselves, to me, is, you know, very innovative. And I think one of the first, and certainly in some of the nuances of how they're doing it. Are there, but that you were talking about the concept of a foundation running this. So is that what Impact Finance Center is doing, or somehow executing on behalf of other entities? In other words, like some sort of aggregator where if I had $1,000 and I wanted to put it to work in the nonprofit space, you're nodding your head. Talk to me about that, please.
Yeah. So just to go through the 4 points really quickly. Most people don't think you can actually do a loan or revenue-based financing into a nonprofit. You can finance, refinance debt. You can make an asset more efficient. You can fund a social enterprise, or you can do a pay-as-you-save social impact bond, or performance-based contracting, or pay-as-you-save transaction, which is if somebody's doing an intervention and they're going to save, if you're doing an intervention as a nonprofit, you're saving a bunch of actors money, an insurance company, a municipality. You can basically say, if we do the intervention and save you money, will you give us part of the savings? So in the case of TechSoup, what's cool about it is a 5% return is a pretty awesome fixed income return, whether it's an individual. You can also use your donor advised fund, or you can use your foundation. We are staying very much on the side of education versus actually investing and giving investing advice. And that's very intentional because one of my best friends is Nicole Bagley, and she's a great granddaughter of R.J. Reynolds Family Foundation. And she's on 3 family foundations. She has a donor advised fund, and she's a high net worth individual. And she's been trying to do impact investing and social justice and women, and then through her foundation, since she was 24 years of age. And it wasn't until she really met us when she supercharged her activity. And we were presenting in Austin at the Women of Money event 2 years ago, prior to the pandemic. And I said, remind me again, like, why us? Why did it take meeting the Impact Finance Center for you to really unlock your journey? And she looked at me and she said, you didn't have a financial interest with me, Stephanie. You weren't trying to raise capital for yourself or a fund or become my investment advisor. And so there's a real need for a group of us to kind of stay on the side of, we're here to educate you and be your impact guide. And we're, it's about you and where you want your resources to go. And we're going to hear you, and you're going to say, I care about Austin, people of color, and sustainable agriculture and nonprofits. And we're going to help air traffic control you and find those right investment advisors and fund managers, et cetera, that help you get those resources where they want to go. So what's great about the TechSoup DPO is, if you're technically taking money you would give away through a donation, even individually, or a donor advised fund or a foundation at -100%, and you do a 5% investment to TechSoup. And let's say you're sitting at home going, well, I'm a trustee on my family foundation and we can't do that. Or I'm at a donor advised fund at my local community foundation. They're not going to let me take my money in my donor advised fund and do an investment in TechSoup's direct public offering. I'm also part of another organization, a public charity called Realize Impact. So you can actually donate into Realize Impact, and then we'll make that investment on your behalf for just a $500 transaction. It's 100% volunteer organization. And then if any of the money comes back, we'll return 99% of it back to your donor advised fund, foundation, or public charity of your choice. And so what's really cool is that in that case, you're taking money that you would normally give away and recycling it at least twice, if not three times, and you're getting 105% return plus a tax deduction. And TechSoup is getting that critical money that they need. And I'm happy to report they're over, I think, just over 10 million towards their $11.5 million goal. So they have a little less than $1.5 million to go in the next month.
That is amazing. By the way, I just pulled up realizeimpact.org, and what a cool model. That is so awesome.
It is. They actually do four things that are worth sharing. We do fiscal sponsorship. So we'll kind of incubate your nonprofit for 2% of the money coming in. You can do this philanthropic investment grant, which I just talked about, where you donate in and we make an investment on your behalf. And we have a master service agreement with the Seattle Foundation and the Community Foundation of Utah to do their bespoke donor advised fund investing. And then you can also set up a fund, a philanthropic investment fund. So if you're like aspiring to be a fund manager in the impact space and you want to start with philanthropic capital, it's about, I think, a 1 to 2 page contract where you can set up your own philanthropic investment fund where you donate to Realize Impact and you make those investments. And then last, we have a zombie donation program, meaning let's say I invested in a cool startup in Austin and it's alive and doing well, but I'm probably not going to get my money paid back to me. I can actually donate my shares and ownership to Realize Impact and get a tax deduction.
That's amazing. This is so cool. I'm so glad that we're talking and I'm learning about this, and hopefully everyone listening along is really a neat initiative. I just opening up my eyes to so many great things. So that's realizeimpact.org. What I want to sort of ask you now, with all of the things that you've shared and what you specifically went over, that makes a lot of sense for the funders or potential funders of, you know, great ways that they can allocate resources. And I think you specifically said this example, but I was sort of just crunching the math in my own mind for the TechSoup, for example, a 5% return. Just breaking this out in layman's terms is, normally, if you had $100, you would donate that to a nonprofit and you would lose the $100. The nonprofit would get that money. They would go make impact. What is emerging and what Stephanie has been pioneering is the idea that you would lend the $100 to the nonprofit. They would use it. They would make impact. They would return the $100 to you plus some interest rate. So in this case, 5% would be $5. So you're giving the nonprofit, in the old model, you're giving them $100. You never get any money back. You lose $100. In this model, you give them 100, you get 105 back. It's just fascinating. And so good. And part of it, I'm curious for you to comment on, because you were talking about the portfolio allocation. You know, you're saying like, well, what's the returns if you lend, you know, a dollar to your brother and you put a dollar in your 401k and you give a dollar to a nonprofit. The reality though is, my numbers might be off a little bit, but in the US, I think we donate about 2% of our income, I think is the right term, to organizations. So people are putting their other dollars in a lot of other places. So what I really think this is also addressing is it can create a lot more capital to be put at work because we're already not doing enough, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Well, think about it. I mean, back in the envelope numbers in Colorado, we probably have $16 billion of schools. And let's just be generous and say at a $5 million mortgage at 6% interest, we probably have another $15 billion in nonprofit buildings and probably another $20 billion in health facilities. So you take, just run the calculator on a mortgage calculator, take $50 billion of debt at 6% and refinance it at 2%. You'll save billions of dollars. That would be essentially saying we're going to do a facilities assessment for the state of Texas or the state of Colorado. We're going to map this and refinance this down to 2, 1, or -5% interest. And all of a sudden we save billions of dollars for that sector. And that's just an efficiency perspective. And also just to bend your head a little further, we coached the Walton Family Foundation to do a -50% investment to a for-profit sustainable seafood company for $500,000. Internally for the Walton Family Foundation, we said, let's treat it like a recoverable grant. We're going to give a grant. It might come back. Externally, we said, let's treat it like a loan with impact milestones, that if you do more and more impact, you can forgive up to half of your loan. And so we call that concept full spectrum capital. And it's all about alignment. You know, we don't want the nonprofit to take out a loan if there is no way they have anything to pay back. But what we're really looking at for is where there's existing inefficiencies in the market, and let's make those more efficient and then resource the nonprofits in a aligned way to help them grow their resource base.
A lot of what we have shared and what you just went down has been from the perspective of the capital providers, those foundations, or the example was it Nicole?
Nicole. Yeah.
So what would you want? You know, we work with a lot of thousands of nonprofit organizations, and many of them, and TechSoup really opened my eyes to this, are below, pick your number, even $250,000 in revenue. So a lot of these organizations are obviously doing great work, but are really trying to figure out how they grow their organization. With the concepts that you're talking about here, what would you say, and sort of what is your message? What is your message to them? And also, what are ways that potentially they can learn and benefit from the things that Impact Finance Center is doing? So what would you say to like the executive director that's running an animal shelter that's $200,000 in revenue, that's been around for 3 years, that's in Austin?
Yeah. Well, first I should say our organization last year was 347,000. I think we're going to double the size, and we are on our fourth impact investment, and we don't own a building. So when people start to say, oh, we don't do that, but let's talk about that for if you and I were joining forces and walking in and in with our listening mode with the humane shelter in Austin, we'd say, tell us about what's going on. And first thing we would probably find out is they probably struggle with meeting cash flow and paying their bills. And so that's where your charity charge credit card might come in. And we also could say, or maybe they have a line of credit at the bank right now. We could say, wow, look at your line of credit at the bank's 12%. Let's see if we can refinance that at 2%, because that reduction is going to save you money. And then they say, well, we actually have a mortgage on our little building at our Humane Society, and it's at 6%. And we're like, oh, let's refinance that. And they say, there's an energy efficiency improvement, let's do that. And then they say, oh, you know what? We have this really cool idea of creating an adoption coffee tea cafe. That's a social enterprise. And they have had difficulty raising the grant funding to do it, but it's really a coffee tea shop. And so we're like, let's go get a donor to do a loan, a revenue-based financing investment into your new tea shop, because you would only pay back that money as you made revenue. And as you did that, you could grow slowly with your impact investor. But the cool part is your business plan projections show that it will help displace 10 to 20% of the grant funding that you have to get in. So that makes you more financially self-sustaining. And then lastly, you do a pay as you save with you go to the city and you say, listen, it's costing the city this much money to deal with stray dogs and cats and animals.
I love this.
We have an idea to do an intervention, and we believe this intervention is going to save you, the city, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. So we realize you have to take a chance on us, and that's, we hear you, that might be too big of a risk. So what if we go get some investors to invest in the intervention? They'll pay us to do the intervention, but if we save you money at city, are you going to agree to split that savings with us? Give us 50-50. You keep 50% of the savings, and we'll use 50% of that savings as a as a contract to pay for our intervention going forward.
That's amazing. Thank you for articulating all that. I think it really brings up that that anyone running an organization shouldn't feel lost. There's a lot of, basic ways that you just enumerated, and a lot of it's just getting the know-how and the understanding. And I hope that, I want to do like a whole separate webinar where you talk and educate all of our orgs and stuff and with it, because there's just no shortage of passion, but there's oftentimes in the nonprofit space, and candidly, I say that a lot, it's really in any business case. There's a variety of reasons why businesses fail or nonprofits fail. A lot of times it's just lack of know-how and actual business acumen that, it takes people like yourself having significant levels of experience to actually coach them up. But those are just some super practical ways that individuals running organizations can take a step back.
You asked us earlier, we have our advisory services, but we also have our institute. We deliver 200 different PowerPoint presentations, classes in Colorado, and we've already recorded 50 of those.
Amazing.
So maybe we should partner on the nonprofit and social enterprise financial innovation impact investing course and go get our friends at TechSoup and take that recorded webinar and produce a full-on curriculum and put it in a learning management system and then potentially put it as an app. Like, let's create that app for nonprofits that they can put it is and play around with it.
I love it. And for all of these things that Stephanie is talking about, you can access and learn more. Sure, she might correct me, but at impactfinancecenter.org, is that the best place for people to head?
Yeah.
Got it. It's amazing. I really appreciate you coming on and this opportunity to just share more of what you're doing and, you know, your perspective. Is there anything else that you'd like to share in general for people to learn more, find you guys, or just any other thoughts or things, questions I haven't asked?
The biggest thing is I feel right now where I said to my friend the other day, I said, I've never felt more hopeful in what's possible. And it's a heavy time to be walking the planet Earth right now with everything happening from weather to war to civil rights issues and fire from that perspective and climate. And we have the answers. The answers are here. So pick your place team on how you're going to help out, whether it's within a nonprofit or you're a donor or funder or whatever, and become a leader in your community and reach out. And there's a bunch of us that will help connect you to the right resources and tools. And if you want to learn, we'll help you learn and get there. And the biggest part is we all need to have a sense of agency that we can actually take an action and we'll actually be able to make the world a better place. And for those who are sitting at home in despair and maybe not on the right job or anything else like that, let's get you in that right job. Let's get you helping out that nonprofit you care about. Because in Colorado, we did a 3-year pilot and we sourced 600 investment opportunities. We activated 155 Nicoles and we just brought them together farmers market style. And we made over $350 million of investment and half of those were nonprofits. And so I've never believed more than it's possible if we all kind of step up and open our minds and really try to help weave together relationships that need to be woven in order for us to create the future we want to live in.
That's amazing. It's really heartwarming and inspirational. And candidly, as you put it there, actionable. I also think it's super contextual how you're saying that, especially at the end of this interview, because we're going through right now what has been labeled the Great Resignation. A lot of people are burnt out, they're leaving their jobs, trying to figure out where is their meaning. And, you know, what you just shared is helping provide that. And I just appreciate that you went there and were willing to share your thoughts on it. It's awesome.
Absolutely. Thank you for what you do, Stephen. Super excited to figure out what we're going to do in the world to make the world a better place together.
Oh, we're going to do it. That's awesome. Thank you so much. I do appreciate that. For everyone listening, I will just close out this episode by saying again that we had Stephanie Gripney, PhD, founder and executive director of Impact Finance Center on the podcast today. If you're interested in learning more about Stephanie's work, head on over to impactfinancecenter.org. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you.